Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent.
To the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. Today, our guest is Ryan Estes. He is a business leader, top performing producer in the conference and world. I'm giving you the biggest title I can think of, Ryan.
I like that title, the world.
The world. I'll give you a world title. What do you think about that?
I love it.
No, it's all good. Ryan actually understands the challenges business leaders and top performers face because he's been in their shoes. He spent 15 years helping companies connect with employees and customers as a former ad agency executive and chief strategy officer at McCann World Group. Let me tell you, Ryan is recognized as one of the best keynote speakers seen or heard. And by the way, I just recently saw him at a joint client that we had and worked at together, and that was awesome. You know, the world's changed, Ryan. You know, I went to one of your blogs, and it says, who are you becoming? And you say, I've accepted and surrendered to the understanding that the world isn't going back to the way it was before. Take me back, bring me forward. It's been a while since you've been on the show.
It has. Well, thanks for having me. It's great to reconnect. And right. So I do believe that I love the terminology McKinsey uses, talking about this idea of a next normal. And obviously, we've been navigating some pretty unique and challenging times. And I think personally and professionally, a lot of us would like to rewind. I remember what, you know, 12, 18 months ago felt like, and it felt pretty good. However, I think what we're experiencing now is an accelerated cycle of disruption, and the future is going to look different, and it's been permanently altered. And I think accepting that allows you to begin to focus on where you and your organization and your team and people need to be to capture the opportunity. So, and that's where we needed to focus as we were going through this and transitioning ourselves. Obviously, for my business, it was incredibly disruptive, but we've been able to pivot, and I think we're going to be a better business because of it.
You know, I was talking to a demographer, Ken Grombeck. He talked about the disruption you talk about is almost 10 years worth of disruption, that things have accelerated so fast, technology-wise, things that we thought we would never be doing in terms of virtual. You know, it was coming, but we never would think it would come this fast. We've learned new ways and new things that we have to deal with. You know, to tell you the truth, at sometimes this has caused some personal discomfort. This has certainly caused some angst. This has certainly caused some, to be honest, some mental health issues. I mean, I know I talk to others in the field, and there are 600 to 800% increases in hotline calls. You know, tell us about what you're seeing, what your research shows, and how we, you know, we can deal with this.
Yeah, I use the number five, right? I said we've been slingshot forward 5 years, and that creates a whole cataclysmic windfall of kind of disruption, side effects. I think that's true. And that type of, there's a big difference between change in a steady state and change during a period of uncertainty. Change is innately difficult, but I think when you're forced to change, like we've been, and there's so much uncertainty on the road ahead, it produces challenges. And I think mental health is one of the big long tail effects of this particular crisis. I think it's going to be so extreme. And all of the research points to that. Anxiety, fear, depression, all of these things are skyrocketing. And I think organizations are going to have a lot more pressure to contend with the wellness and well-being of their people. And so that's a big part of what our research suggests. And I'm seeing the appetite in customer conversations I'm having. One of my big responses through this period of time was actually to develop curriculum to support our clients in this way, because we were being asked for it. So we actually launched a whole new wellness series that focuses on some of the issues that I think are going to be ever present. And you know, the side effect of that is it inhibits performance. There's a significant cost associated to well-being as it pertains to healthcare, absenteeism, you know, those kinds of things. And then just it impacts people's lives in such a severe and negative way. So I think this is a major concern. I think there's a heightened level of awareness around it. And this is going to be something we'll be dealing with for quite some time.
HR professionals, C-suite leaders are right on that front line. Can you talk to them a little bit about maybe ways that they make sure they take care of themselves first? You know, it's the old rule of thumb, put your mask on first when you're in a plane before you can help others. You know, talk a little about some, maybe some tips and tricks or things you've seen that can really move that group forward.
Well, I think the first thing is just the acknowledgement or recognition. It's what you said, you can't pour from an empty cup. And so just because you're an HR leader or even you're the CEO of the organization, you're not immune from stress and these kinds of challenges. So I think self-awareness, particularly the senior leadership level, is just so, so important. I think we tend at times on the senior leadership level to think we're immune from these things. I can tell you from personal experience, we are not. And it affects how you show up. So I think just doing a little inspecting or auditing kind of around your own routines, rituals, mindfulness and health is so, so important. So, but some very specific recommendations, take regularly scheduled breaks. You know, that's one thing. Try and create some balance between work and personal time. You know, one statistic, the average remote worker is working 3 more hours a day during the pandemic. We're already working too much. This pace is not sustainable. Now that we're working predominantly at home or remotely, our lives and work they're bleeding together in a way that I don't think is sustainable or healthy. So create some separation, take breaks. Don't ignore the other areas of your life that are important, particularly the people that you care about. Last thing I'll mention is this, and this has been a game changer for me personally. My philosophy is you cannot improve what you do not measure. And so when it comes to health and wellness, it's a little difficult, more difficult to measure our mental health, but I think things that contribute to it, like not getting enough sleep, not being rested. So I actually use this, one of these little fitness trackers, simple. I use the Whoop strap, but just having awareness around how recovered I am, how much I'm sleeping, a prompt to stay hydrated. Those little investments add up to feeling a whole lot better and having the capacity to deal with stress.
You know, one of the other things, Ryan, that I've heard from HR professionals is they almost take more concerned about their team than themselves. And I certainly understand the empathy and the concern that we all have for the people around us, especially if they have aging parents or they're taking care of children and you're dealing with, of course, schools being partially closed, partially open, maybe closed, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, and all the routines have changed. Employees are facing real challenges and employers are dealing with it. Tell me your thoughts on, you know, balance when it comes to those type of things.
Yeah, I think it's just perspective, right? So I think it's wonderful to have the servant leader mindset and to put up other people first. I think the best leaders think that way and work that way. And, you know, I've always been fond of saying, put people first, performance and profitability follow. And I think, you know, the truth comes in a test when we're navigating a period that's difficult, like the one we are now. And I do think a leader's responsibility is taking care of their people, but you can't do it if you're not taking care of yourself. And it is a delicate balancing act. And you have to constantly refine the balance, right? That's kind of life and work and the way it always is. So things get a little out of balance, you make an adjustment. But having the ability to step back, evaluate your progress, and look for opportunities to make meaningful contributions, I think is important. I'll also add, This is a unique moment that I think HR really can and should be inserting themselves in an aggressive, direct way and making a proactive, guided response and contribution to the business, and particularly in a time where people are under kind of the stress and the challenges that we've been talking about. You know, HR is very qualified to lead and lead on that front. And so I think influencing, you know, frontline leadership, C-suite leadership, this is that moment where you can be called forward to make a meaningful contribution and invest in your people in a unique way. I think that's the opportunity.
We're talking with Ryan Estes. He is the international national speaker across the country. He's doing it, he's making it happen. You go to ryanestes.com. That's ryanestes.com. See, Ryan, we even know how to spell here on the HR Power Hour. That's good. It's all good stuff. I'm David Chula. I'm your host. This is HR Educational Radio. You know, Ryan, I know for a fact that some people struggle in managing up. You know, dealing with owners and leaders, especially family businesses, which, as you know, is a majority of the businesses countrywide. And when HR is maybe from the outside and they're dealing with that ownership, they struggle sometimes to manage up, especially when they're dealing with crises. And typically that means they circle the wagon, they do all those things around their family, which I understand and completely as a family business owner, I get it. Talk to me a little bit about how there is a real way to be better at managing up and having that communication and opening that door.
Yeah, so I think it comes down to a couple of things. So managing up, influencing change, being truly willing to challenge the status quo takes a couple of things. Number one, it takes an incredible amount of competence. So you have to be respected as a trusted advisor in the context of the business. And as an HR professional, it means all of the standard blocking and tackling that's required for HR has to be executed flawlessly. So make sure that you are delivering on everything that's traditionally required in the role and function. Second, you know, it does take trust in establishing high trust, high value relationships. Whether it's a family owned business and it's the owner, it's the C-suite, they have to trust and respect your opinion and contribution. And then third, it takes a little courage. It takes a courage and conviction to step into the light and talk about why things aren't working or what you can do differently, or even challenging an owner, right, to make a different level of investment or kind of decision. And that certainly can be uncomfortable. But to mitigate that discomfort, I would just say be prepared, right? It's prepare to influence and be prepared to deliver persuasive communication. It's interesting. My newsletter this Sunday is all about this. It's all about persuasive communication. You could probably link to it in the show notes. We offer 5 tips and a video to do exactly this. But you have to have the willingness, the courage to step into that. And I think if you're prepared and you're researched and you have examples and it's well thought out and you have a business case, there's a return back to the business, which especially as a small business owner myself, I know if it's going to impact the long-term success of my company, I'm interested in learning about it. So present it through the lens that your constituents or the C-suite or the ownership care about. And I think you have a much better opportunity to have a receptive audience.
I think you're right. I think it takes a mutual communication between both parties to be able to make that happen. And I do agree with you from the standpoint, it does take courage. You know, you said about, which is very true, HR professionals have to have the buy-in or the trust of the ownership. Any thoughts about how to build trust?
Yeah, look, I think it takes time, but I think having confidence, it really is, part of it is clearly communicating what people can expect from you and then delivering on that behavior consistently. Trustworthy people do what they say they're going to do when they say they're going to do it all of the time. Do that plus a little extra, right? Over deliver a little bit. And I think if you're having that kind of impact on the business, you'll begin to earn trust, establish credibility, and have opportunities to have more influence.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour. We're speaking with Ryan Esses. We'll be right back on News Talk, WLOB 100.5 FM. Right back.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employee relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
Let me ask you a question. How do you feel about genetically modified ingredients?
Don't like them.
Artificial flavors and colors?
No thanks.
Clean ingredients.
Now that I like.
When you care about what's in things and what's not, shouldn't your vitamins be clean too? Sundown Vitamins are all clean all the time. Non-GMO, free of gluten and dairy, with colors and flavors from real food. We even have USDA certified Sundown Organics and kids vitamins too. When you're living clean, choose clean with Sundown Vitamins at supermarkets, drugstores, or on Amazon.
At over 150 years old, Verrill has an illustrious history with more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill as one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact Verrill at verrill-law.com. That's verrill-law.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by cmacareer.com and verrill-law.com. And remember, HR Power Hour is now podcasting on your favorite national podcast platform. That could be Spotify, that could be iTunes, that could be Pandora, that could be Google. That could be any place, but be there, like us, and listen to us every week, please. I'm your host, David Chulo. And again, I said we are talking with Ryan Esses. He is talking about leadership today, innovation, personal growth, and some lessons. That's what we're doing today, Ryan. I really enjoy having you on today because I think one of the things that you bring is perspective from across the country, since you have certainly spoken to a lot of clients over the past number of years. The topic for this segment is really about the leadership itself and how leadership is going to has changed and is going to change here in 2021 and beyond. Where do you think we're going, and what do you think will be really different from where it's always been?
Well, I think the way we organize teams and manage work is changing. I mean, and that's you know, nothing new. I mean, we've heard about the gig economy and remote work for a couple of years, but to your point, fast forward 5 or 10 years and here we are. I mean, this has been a great forced experiment, right? Are people productive working at home? Can we be more flexible? Do we want to let them work at home? And there's a myriad of opinions and philosophies about that. But one thing that has happened is that employees want more flexibility. Not saying everybody wants to work at home 5 days a week, and I'm not saying everybody wants to be in the office 5 days a week either. I think it's going to be a hybrid model. So I think that's certainly true. And also just the advance of or embracing of technology. You know, everybody's become a whole lot more comfortable with the technology and tools. So digitization, you know, virtual capability, all of those things I think are a big part of the future of work. I also think that cycles of disruption are going to occur faster. So the pace of change is going to continue to accelerate. And you have to be willing to just be uncomfortable and constantly reinventing yourself. I talk about this idea of continuous reinvention, a foot in two worlds. You know, the leaders have to have the drive to execute and perform today, given the current complexity and landscape, and have the discipline to continue to take risks, invest, and experiment to disrupt themselves, right? And that's the balancing those things. It's challenging. So I think those are some of the kind of major trends that we're seeing. And the leaders that can do those things and continue to invest in people and take care of people, I think you're going to have an opportunity to build teams that, you know, create the future. And that's exciting.
Do you have an example of maybe a company organization that you have seen really start to make that change and doing it in a way that really could set the example of where organizations need to take it?
You know, I've got a couple, and I'll build on the first segment too. And now we're talking about leadership, but I can think of a couple of examples. And this one really hit home. I mean, this was pre-pandemic, but I was working with a financial advisory firm, Edward Jones, and they were having a conference. There were probably 400 or 500 advisors there, and their managing partner, Jim Weddle, who is transitioning out now. I mean, I think he's still the chairman of the board, but he stood up. And he talked about how their firm responds to challenge and adversity. He told this beautiful story about how, you know, at the onset of the Great Recession, how, well, it caught the world off guard. And of course, they were in the center of it as a financial services advisory organization. But he made a commitment. He stood up in front of that organization and said, hey, we have to reduce costs. And no surprise, everybody else was. And he said, we're looking for ideas. And we're not going to be able to, you know, we're going to put a hiring freeze on. We're probably going to not be able to pay bonuses, but we aren't shedding a single job. Your job here is safe and you're going to be okay. And we're going to get through this together. But what I need you to do is help us think through what we could do to put some controls. Now, what a unique approach. I get goosebumps retelling the story. I had a lump in my throat because I worked for a Fortune 500 company. It was all about headcount to revenue, stage one cuts, stage two cuts. We just cut our way right through the recession. And ultimately I cut my way out because I just didn't believe in that model or the business anymore. But to listen to that, and of course, what do you think the outcome of that was? Obviously, they had people responded in droves, offered to sacrifice their vacation, and all of these initiatives came, and they became a stronger culture and a stronger company because of it. So it just, I'll never forget listening to him talk about that and really reflect on the firm's values and who they were. It left a big imprint on me, and it certainly left an imprint on the people that work there. And then, you know, you can look around today and just see so many cool examples, right, of innovation, of companies that have immediately turned on a dime to respond. I'm sure you see that locally. I do. And we can see it nationally too. I have had the great privilege of working with Pfizer and particularly their vaccines division over the last couple of years. And I think from a leadership perspective, you know, the way they communicate internally, it's such a strong culture of continuous learning, innovation, and they really do care about their people. Just the way they responded as people had to work remotely and be at home, they took, even in a sales function, they took so much focus off performance and numbers and traditional requirements and just let people breathe for a minute and relax into the situation, take care of their family, check in with their customers. And now they're pivoting back into that performance mindset and just the appreciation and gratitude. And then I think the reverence for how that company is helping us move through this is pretty inspiring. And these down periods or these crisis situations, you can look back to 08 or 09, and I think it's going to be true through this period of time. There are also periods that foster incredible innovation. When you think about 2009 and some of the companies that were launched out of that, like Uber and Instagram, right? It was just a breeding ground for innovation and advances in technology. And I think we'll see some of that here too. But you know, obviously, to your point, it's the leadership that drives the bus, and it's quality leadership that's required right now.
You know, you had a blog that went out on February 22nd, and it says, adversity is a gift. I'm certainly sure there are many on here that are saying to themselves, oh, sure, Ryan, it's a gift. But it is. And I read the blog, and I totally agree with you. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we always hear about post-traumatic stress disorder. What we don't hear enough about is post-traumatic growth. And adversity is the catalyst to create growth on the other side of it if we are self-aware and awake to the lesson. I would just challenge everybody to look for the opportunity through this, or at least reflect on what you have learned. And then how could you leverage that insight to make new and meaningful progress? Look, I'll speak to this one personally, right? I had an 80 live event speaking schedule that beginning March 12th got completely unwound in within 2 or 3 weeks. My business went from thriving to, do we have a business? But I will personally tell you, this has been one of the most creative periods of time in my entire life. And I truly believe in 2 years, based on what we were forced to deal with over the last 12 months, that we will have a much better business and bigger opportunity because of this. Doesn't mean I'm grateful for COVID. I wish this had never happened. And I had COVID. It was awful. And, you know, you see the destruction both here in my community. And then obviously, you know, we've lost 500,000 Americans. It is a tragedy. But from a pure business and leadership perspective, through a time of crisis, you have to look at the opportunity and focus your perspective there. And there is going to be an opportunity to grow on the other side of this. So I having your focus there, I think is pretty important.
We're talking with Ryan Esses. He is a national speaker. He also consults and does advisory work, addresses leadership, sales, strategy, challenges. He's a great guy. And I can say that because I consider you a friend. You know, one of the other things that, Ryan, we talked about and looked at, and you actually wrote about it, was the four keys to capture the window of opportunity. And in that blog, you talked about the fact that, one, you have to develop a compelling vision of the future, build trust, decide and update, and then, of course, embrace continuous reinvention. You talked a little bit about that in this. The area I want you to focus on a little bit is vision. Vision is an interesting word, and certainly in my coaching, I'm sure in yours, we talk about personal vision, we talk about business vision, we talk about the intersection of the two, whether you're running a department or running an organization or running whatever you're running. But vision is sometimes hard to grasp, to make tangible. Any thoughts or things that you can provide to the HR world, the C-suite listening today, as to how to understand or start to really wrap their head around how to develop a vision?
Yeah, a couple of thoughts around this. So just understand how important this is. Our research indicates that the biggest reason employees disengage or opt out is because they lack confidence in the future direction of the organization and the organization's leadership. So how do you create confidence and clarity about where you're going? Well, you have to have a vision. I mean, you have to be able to clearly articulate the direction forward. What's the compelling vision of the future? How do you articulate that? A real good way to start this is answer the question, who are you going to be in 5 years? What's the target? You have to have a true north. People have to get aligned in pursuit of a future state. That, and you have to have language. And it doesn't mean things aren't going to change. And you're not going to respond to change and new information. That's what, but you have to have a destination, that true north. And then you have to communicate it and be accessible. Employees are starving for more communication from senior leadership. And it's inexcusable that they're not getting it. I think HR actually is well positioned to bridge a gap between the communication, the thinking, the rationale, the strategy, the ideation of the C-suite and the employee population. So connect, it's having the vision, but then it's connecting and communicating and reinforcing and supporting. That's to get embedded into your culture, and people have to be aligned in pursuit of it. Those are the keys.
You're listening to HR Educational Radio. I'm your host. This is the HR Power Hour. You know, Ryan, one of the things that has certainly elevated the challenge is technology. And I say it's elevated the challenge because in some ways, we're addicted to it.
We are completely addicted.
We are completely addicted to it. And separating the fact that we're now on a screen, I mean, yesterday, for example, I was 7.5 hours on Zoom in one day. 7.5 hours, okay? And I got home, and my wife said, "You look exhausted." And I said, "I am." But literally, I had just stared at a screen most of the day, talked, and done the thing that you have to be doing. Talk to us a little bit about, because this is the intersection of leadership and personal growth and technology. Talk to us a little bit about that. We have about 3 minutes on that, just so you'll know.
Well, I would say this. I'd say, first of all, it is addicting. And so I'll make two comments about this, just around the addiction. I mean, if you don't think that's real, chill out this weekend over Netflix and watch The Social Dilemma. And you will get a real sense of, and look, you and I are, you know, from a certain generation, this next generation and the way they grew up, and you and I probably can shut it down and have a glass of wine and dinner and put our phones over there and say, okay, I'm done for the day. That is not the way the next generation operates. Their phone is on the table while they're watching TV, while they have their tablet up. I mean, they are immersed in this. It's how they live. It's how they build relationship. And that's not all healthy. There are consequences to this. There are mental health consequences to this. So, again, leadership being a guide and creating some perspective. I'll tell you one of my thoughts around this from a leadership perspective. is if you want to create an organization where people are healthy and well-being is important and people are taken care of, give people breaks. And so as the leader, model the behavior, right? What does that mean? 5 o'clock on Friday, stop working. And you know what? Don't send emails over the weekend. And don't send emails at 9 at night. Just because we can doesn't mean we should. And really, what's the message that you're sending if you're a manager and you're emailing people at 9 or 10 at night? There's an unwritten expectation around that. And so look, if 9 o'clock at night is your creative time, great. Go draft your emails and then hit send at 9 the next morning and give your people a break. It's hard enough, right, without that additional pressure and the expectation that we're going to be connected and responsive all the time, real time. And look, I have to check myself because I do it. You know, I I'll get into a creative zone. I'll start writing and I'll sit here at night. I may have a glass of wine. And I'll get an idea and I want to email Lynn, right? And I have to remind myself, she's with her family right now. And I know just the weight of that for her, I've got to give my people space. And back to you can't pour from an empty cup. I've got to take it too. Or I'm not being the best servant I can be to my people. So just some thoughts on boundary. I think that rule of thumb, just give it a try. No, try it for a week. No emails after 5, no emails on the weekends. Draft them, be creative. It's your time, but give your people a break and see if that doesn't reverberate on your team or in your culture.
You know, Ryan, you are spot on. One of the things I've done is I've made it so that I cannot get an email unless I click send. And that's all day, because what happens, it's a distraction and it's constantly going off. It's taking me off my game. So I've made it, I cannot send or receive an email unless I click the button up top. It has changed the game in regards to staying focused, staying directed. So you're spot on with what you're talking about today. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
Hi, I'm Susan McVetty.
And I'm Pete McVetty from McVetty's Hearth and Home.
Is there a sale going on at the store right now?
No.
No Hearthstone, Quadrifier, Mendota, Wittes, Blaze King, or Morso sale?
No.
No Yodel, Vermont Castings, or Regency? Oh, there's always a Regency sale.
No.
You're telling me that out of the gazillions of wood, gas, and pellet stoves that we carry, there's not a single sale going on?
Nope.
Wow! What about patio furniture, awnings, grills, smokers, and aluminum docks?
No, just because there isn't a big sale going on doesn't mean that we're not having great deals and still doing free estimates for anyone needing a heating appliance.
Oh, well, good. Just let me know when we're having another sale.
Okay, there's always a bargain to be had if you are looking for one. And we don't need a new heating appliance.
Well, maybe my sister needs one, or my friend, or your sister.
Stop by McVetty's Hearth and Home at 893 Route 1 in Yarmouth, or check out our website at stovesofmaine.com for the latest information, including our sales.
Really? I have to check out the website? Really? And I can't believe Regency isn't having a sale.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. And once again, remember, you can now get the HR Power Hour on podcast nationally. Make it happen. Please go there and like us and listen and learn. Today, our guest is Ryan Essett. He is a consultant as well as national speaker. He addresses leadership, sales, and strategy challenges. And let me tell you, let me quote here, the best keynote speakers ever heard is recognized by Meetings and Convention Magazine. That's impressive.
Thank you, my friend. Yeah, it was nice when that came out. It was one of the best, not the best, one of. I was in some pretty good company, so yeah, it was nice.
Oh, it's okay. We'll take it. We'll take one of. Yeah. You know, it's all right, right?
Absolutely.
A lesson from yourself, a lesson to bring forward from yourself on that. How important is recognition, especially when you think about the fact that employers and leaders, they kind of make assumptions that people are doing things well. They don't necessarily give enough praise. And that's as you know, the surveys left and right say that across the board. Talk a little bit about how to differentiate maybe between, hey, just doing your job and when it's appropriate to talk about it and why it's so important.
You know, it is so important. Obviously, as entrepreneurs and small business owners, you know, we'll recognize ourselves and then make sure the marketplace knows about it. And I'm a sales professional and I'm trying to grow this business. And, you know, that's part of it, too. But I think, you know, from an HR leader perspective, the idea of authentic, genuine recognition, it's so important to establishing relationship. And people today, they're hungry for that feedback and coaching. And, you know, I think a good baseline for this is, you know, your direct reports deserve at least once every 30 days, a one-on-one where you're having future directed conversation, that level of coaching. And, you know, the pushback on that is, a lot of this, I don't have time. I have 12 direct reports. I would never have time. And I just, my pushback on that is actually that is the job. That time and investing that time in the people, that's what you're supposed to be doing. That's like a third of the responsibility of the work. So you have to make the time, reorient yourself. And maybe it's that you have too many direct reports. That's fair. But you know, there's formal recognition and that's great. And obviously I do a lot of work in sales and at sales conferences and we'll see President's Club and people hitting their stretch goals. And that's brilliant and beautiful. But, you know, there also is the pulling somebody aside and said, hey, thanks, job well done. Or just text message, hey, you crushed it in that meeting. Really seeing your growth, really, you know, that being that kind of leader that's just open and generous. Not disingenuous, but if it's authentic and it's genuine, it really helps people, I think, commit to what you're trying to accomplish. So be a leader that gives credit and recognition away freely. Doesn't cost the thing.
No, and it pays for itself three times over. There's no question about it. You know, you mentioned, and it's true, you do a lot of, you're a sales professional. You're somebody who sells for a living. The C-suite leaders in general, HR, are selling ideas. They are selling benefit plans, theories, mission statements. They're selling a
recognition
new
programs, technology.
So many, right? They're selling everything.
Wellness.
So, you know, I know when I say the word sales to HR sometimes, I don't sell is typically the response that I hear. But I tell them that, yes, you sell every day. So please share your thoughts on that.
Well, if you're an HR leader who has some negative disposition with the word sales, to your point, if you don't sell, you're not going to get a lot done. That's progressive. Right. So it is we're all selling to a degree. We're competing for time, attention, resources, support, all of those things, credibility, all of those things. And so the ability to be a persuasive communicator, right? To your point, influence up or communicate with impact. It is so critical. And it does, we talked a little bit about this idea of courage. It does take courage to step into the arena, but you're being called to do it now. Your organizations today, their people issues are such a significant priority. This is that defining moment where you either enter the arena of being a proactive, confident, results-driven consultant that actually tells the C-suite what to do. This is your area. This is your moment. And so you have to be confident. You have to have conviction. You have to have credibility. You have to be well-researched. You have to speak to the issues in a way that the C-suite will respond. And related to growth or sustainability or the future success of the business, not because it's nice to have. You know, and this there was a Harvard Business Review article about this idea that HR should stop investing in programs that no longer drive result in the business. And it's true that, like, in a simple one, right? Annual performance reviews. How many companies still do that? And really, what's that driving in terms of value, impact, growth, maximizing potential? It's just is if there's a better way, fight for a better way and pick your battles intelligently. That's part of my feedback. Everyone is in sales.
You know, not only sales, but as you mentioned earlier, change. Change is coming faster than it's ever come. And you could argue technology is part of that, but even just the pandemic made change faster. And legal rules that we never would allow have all changed. Things that we never would expect to do, we now have to do. Talk to us a little bit about how being a change agent, being the leader in a change world really matters.
Well, it matters a lot because people are naturally resistant to change. And you're right, you know, we're change is the new normal. You know, this whole idea like change management theory, and I've done change management work, so have you, right? It was a project. It was an initiative. It was current state. We're going through the change initiative, and now you're changed and you're in the future state, and, you know, and we walk away. That's over. Change is the new normal. So embrace it. Have an appetite for it. Challenge the business to change faster. Conduct experiments. Be willing to take intelligent risks and failure. Success, growth is iterative, right? So you go a little, entrepreneurs know this. And what's needed in mid-size or large organizations is intrapreneurs, people that are willing to take risks, fail, and iterate the organization forward. And I think that is the call to action for HR. Are you in a position where you are routinely challenging the C-suite, the owners, the leadership team to change and change faster?
How do you do all that without burning out?
I think that gets back into some of the, you know, kind of some of the balance and the boundaries. My thought around this is be self-aware. I've burned out twice in the life. I've hit two significant walls in my professional career. And I just think I've come into a place at this stage of my career, my life, where I just have more awareness around that. So check in with yourself. I'm a big believer in schedules, right? So I have a philosophy. What gets scheduled gets done. If it's a priority, put it in the calendar, right? If one-on-one time with your people are a priority, show me your calendar. If I'm coaching an executive, I'll talk about priorities, objectives, then I'll say, okay, hand me your calendar. And then a little audit over the last month, a little inspection will actually give a lens of perspective into whether their stated priorities actually matches their management of time. And you want to close those gaps. But so if balance and health and wellness is a priority, schedule it. Schedule break. We don't take our vacation time in the United States. It's crazy. We give back our paid vacation time. So it's just having some awareness, right? And there is a time to sprint. There may be a season for sprinting, but sprinting is not a sustainable way to run a marathon. And so you want to play the long game. I just think it's important to have that awareness because the work today, in today's world, the work isn't truly never done.
We're talking to Ryan Estes, and you can go and see him at ryanestes.com. That's ryanestis.com. You're listening to the HR Power Hour. I'm your host, David Chulo, HR Educational Radio, and we will be right back on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employee relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts, stoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by cmacareer.com and verrill-law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and this is HR Educational Radio. Today, we've been talking with Ryan Estes. He's a consultant and national speaker. He's worked with amazing companies across the whole United States, including Disney, Morgan Stanley, IBM, National Basketball Association. But he's also worked right here in Maine with small companies. So don't think he's too big for you, because he's awesome. All right? Ryan, I don't know how else to go. I'm doing pretty good here, right? I'm picking you up, selling you, man. Want to put me on a PR retainer? Whatever you want.
You're great. You're a gracious host.
All right. So, you know, as we wrap up today, we have about 4.5 minutes left here. What about key takeaways for HR, C-suite, business leaders today that they can go into the rest of 2021 thinking about here in the middle or at the beginning of second quarter?
Beautiful. Let's do some bullet points. Number one, invest in you, invest in your people, right? It's been a difficult period of time. Elevate your own self-awareness, take good care of yourself, and make sure you're showing up prepared to contribute your best each and every day, both to your team and to the people you care about and love. And then give back to your people. This is a moment where leadership needs to take care of people, right? There's going to be a huge surge. I'm just reading a statistic now. 62% of organizations are making employee wellness and well-being a top priority for the remainder of this year. Are you? And where is that on your radar screen to invest back into? So I think invest in you, invest in your people. Number two, initiate continuous reinvention. And we talked about this idea of being change ready, having an appetite for change, be a future maker, right? If you're in an HR leadership position, now is that moment where you can insert yourself and challenge the business to take bold, decisive action in a new direction. So think about that opportunity. Just scan the landscape, right? Do your own assessment. What's working? What isn't? I think it'll be clearly and fairly obvious. And then make some decisions and commitments about what you're going to attack. Where is the opportunity? So be an agent of change. Not just respond to change well, initiate it, play offense. That's the second thing. And I think, I think if there was a third one, and we talked a little about it, I think, soft skills are the new hard skills, right? And communication is such a big one. So this idea of being able to be a more persuasive, influential communicator and doing it in this virtual landscape is so important. So really cultivate the skill of being influential, of being able to insert yourself and present a business case that shakes things up, challenges the status quo, and moves the business forward in a different way. I think those are three big keys that, you have to really reflect on and consider. And if you do it, you'll be a little more prepared to make an impact, which, after all, isn't that what it's all about? And that's why it's the subject of the newsletter I write every Sunday. Prepare for impact. It's, go do something. I hope my one hope would be that someone listened to this and they went and did something about it. And that would be my goal.
Well, you have right on the front of your website, the way forward. And I think that certainly is what we're talking about today. You know, if they go to your website, Ryan, again, ryanestis.com, ryanestis.com, what can they sign up and what will they receive?
Yeah, so we have a resources link on that webpage. So there's a lot of things that are out there for download, guides, ebooks, research. But I do write this Prepare for Impact newsletter. We publish once a week to our community. It goes out every Sunday. And I don't have anything to sell. Just drop your email in. You'll get a letter from me. We unpack research trends, insights, case studies. I shoot a custom video that's a part of that. Typically, we link to a couple cool podcasts. So it's a resource. It's a resource that can help you navigate the way forward.
And of course, you can go to hrpowerhour.com right after this show. You'll see Ryan, the information, and we'll certainly have a link directly to his website, which you can go for there. Ryan, it was great having you on the show today.
Great to see you again, brother. Take good care.
Absolutely. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk, WLOB, 100.5 FM, and come right back for the HR Tip of the Week.
And now, your HR Tip of the Week. Your HR Tip of the Week is being sponsored by Verrill.
Hi, this is Doug Currier from Verrill. Today I want to talk a moment about state laws. What do I mean by state laws? Well, this is really directed to employers who have employees in multiple states. I want to emphasize that one size does not fit all, because more and more we are seeing that states are being proactive in passing new protections for their employees. Therefore, you can no longer assume that the standard policies in your handbook are going to work in each state where you have employees. And whether or not you have non-compete agreements or separation agreements, employee handbooks, employment applications, essentially any forms, you need to think in terms of all forms, policies, and procedures that you have in place need to be evaluated separately for compliance with the laws of each state. It's a lot of work, but it must be done. Further discuss ensuring compliance with state law requirements for your employees, please contact a member of Verrill's Labor and Employment Practice Group.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Verrill. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at hrpowerhour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.